Podcast number 7 of the Kelly Nash Podcast, and it's another sad day in America. I'm sure you've all seen the latest updates since Charlottesville over the weekend and then the Trump press conference, and it's really got a lot of Americans upset. I think more Americans are probably just frustrated at this point, though. The people who are upset, I think, are on both sides, the alt-left, the alt-right. They both feel like they're not being understood. And if I could try to put either one of their positions in a nutshell, it would be the alt-right feels like. And again, there's a group, there's a myriad of different groups that make up this alt-right group, or that's what we're calling them now, the alt-right. Although I don't believe either position is politically right or left. It's just insane. But that being said, the alt-right feels like the history of the United States is in jeopardy. We're trying to whitewash it. If you get rid of all these statues, you're going to rewrite the history books, and you're making their ancestors out to seem a lot worse than they really were. The alt-left feels like these people who want to keep the statues up are celebrating evilness, that there is nothing good that came out of the Civil War except that the North won and that slavery was defeated. So if you glorify anybody from the South giving them a statue, then that is basically endorsing slavery still at this point, or endorsing a position of white nationalism or something to that extent. That's pretty much both of their positions. And I think that most Americans don't fall into either one of those. It's just kind of like, whatever. Neither one of those are valid points for most people's perspective. So here's the problem. As these two groups continue to go more and more at it, and that's what's, it's almost becoming, and I hate to be glib about the whole situation, but it's starting to turn into like the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor press conferences. Like, we're scheduling fight press conferences all across the world. And I don't, they're trying to get one going here in Charleston. They're going to have another one in Florida. They're working on it. They were denied at the University of Florida. So they're looking at other universities where they can stage dueling rallies, a.k.a. dueling battle royales is what it would seem. And both groups are picking up more and more people. Because if you feel like sort of that way, whatever that way is, and then you see somebody oppressing that way, whatever, again, that way is, then you might be more inclined to join it. So while there may be, I don't know, in the whole country, we have 330 million people, there might be a million people who feel this way, we might have 2 million by the end of the year if we keep going at this rate. That's scary and dangerous. I earlier tweeted the quote from Martin Luther King that he's going to choose love because hate is too big a burden. It's just too heavy a burden. It's just, and when you look at both sides, and I know that the left, the alt-left feels like, and even the mainstream left feels like the alt-left is morally superior, morally on the high ground. So they can do anything at this point, and most people on the left feel like, but it's in the right, it's in a good cause. So, like if you looked at the Charlottesville photo, there's a black man who is got an aerosol can, and he's shooting flames at a guy with either a Nazi flag or a Confederate flag. I forget what he's waving. You're trying to kill a guy in the name of love. That's what you're saying. That's not love. Again, this is the difference between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. A lot of people were attracted to Malcolm X because they said, we got to grab the power. We got to, we got the moral high ground here. This is what we're fighting for is right. And King, smart enough to realize that if you fight for it, you lose. Physical. You can't physically fight for it. It's just not going to work. That's how regimes begin. Communist regimes start because they say, we have the moral high ground, we're going to take this from the rich and give to the poor, and the poor says, that's right, and let's rise up with them, and power to the people. and then you don't have a country anymore because they've oppressed not only the rich but the poor. It's never going to work. Love is the only answer. Here is something that I started talking about on the Jonathan and Kelly podcast earlier today, and I thought that this would be something that might, if you're talking to somebody who is attracted to either one of these movements, particularly if they're attracted to the left, because a lot of the people on the left, heart is in the right place. I mean, for the most part, they're just going about it all wrong. But you're battling over history. You can't rewrite history, and you're not going to win anybody over to your position by yelling at them, beating them up, whatever. And you're not going to change the results of what happened in 1865 or previous or up through 1965 and the civil rights battles. None of that is going to be changed, and people's opinions today are where they are. So you're not going to improve anybody's lot in life is the point I'm trying to make. But if you really are against slavery, and aren't we all? Shouldn't we all be? If you're not, then there's clearly a problem with your psyche if you're not against slavery. But not everybody is against slavery, and that is evidenced by two things. One, not everybody is joining this cause. And number two, there are people who are running this, and this being the slave trade. And here's an interesting stat. Right now, in the United States of America, so this isn't happening in some far off land. This is in Colombia. This is in South Carolina. This is in my home state of Connecticut. It's everywhere in the United States. According to the FBI, at least means minimum, 100,000 people are sold into slavery in the United States every year. Now, that's a cause that we should all be able to get behind. Rather than going to Charlottesville or wherever it is and having your fist fights that lead to nothing but sorrow and tearing apart the country, wouldn't it be great if this country, because by the way, the 100,000 in America, that's a pittance of what's happening around the world. There are millions of people in slavery around the world. Wouldn't it be great if but this is a little quick history lesson for a lot of Americans, because it's amazing and shocking how ignorant Americans are on their own history. But what is the Statue of Liberty, right? A lot of people say, well, it's to welcome people to America. Well, that's nice, but that's not the original intent of it. The original inspiration of it was from the French, and they were talking about how amazing is it that little country, the United States, and it was a tiny little country at the time, has overcome slavery. They overcame it. They fought a war, and the good guys won. And now the whole country is going to have to respect the rule of law, and they are going to outlaw slavery. Because at that point, all of Europe was pretty much involved with slavery. And if all of Europe's involved with it, at that point, pretty much the entire civilized world still looked at slavery as, maybe it's not something we should be proud of, but hey, you know what? The economy's got to go, so we're going to make it go. The United States took a stand and said no. We won. The French, particularly some abolitionists, said we've got to celebrate this and let that be a beacon to the world. The actual Statue of Liberty is holding up a beacon of freedom to the slaves. That's who it's for. The United States is the nation that the rest of the world looked at and said they got it figured out. And the amazing thing is we have so many people here in America ashamed of our history. We're the ones who, well, we didn't, not us currently living, but our ancestors or those who came before us here in the United States, they're the ones who figured it out before most people in the rest of the world. And so the rest of the world rallied off of what we were doing here in the 1860s. So with that being said, you're not going to change it, but wouldn't it be great if we had a repeat that if this was the nation that was, obviously, slavery is illegal now, but most nations aren't doing anything about it. We're starting to pass some strict laws So you can work with your legislators. Here in South Carolina, our friend, my buddy, Alan Wilson, is the attorney general. He's working with legislators to get tougher laws, and we have made some huge strides here in the last 3-4 years against slavery in South Carolina. And we've had several relatively large arrests bringing down groups of, you know, 10, 20 at a clip. That's fantastic. But obviously, when you're talking about a trade, by the way, according to this, there is it's a $9.8 billion industry. That is an unbelievable sum of money. Now, if you're wondering, where am I getting these stats from? It's from a group that was started at my church. I go to Grace Life Church on Clemson Road, and there was a lady. She doesn't go there now. She and her husband, I think, recently moved to North Carolina. But Andrea Wind is her name, and a great woman who was moved a few years ago when we had some speakers in our church talking about the slave trade and how it's actually happening here. And we, you know, we've met with people who were victims of the slave trade, who escaped it. And we're not talking about just the fringe of society people. One of the ladies I talked to was going to college. She's in from North Carolina, Charlotte area, going to college, and ended up getting in a predicament where she thought she was modeling. And she was doing some modeling shoots, but the guy who set her up on that, somebody she thought she could trust because her roommate had introduced her to this guy, well, it turns out he was a total piece of monkey crap. And that guy tied her up and had guys come in and pay to rape her right there on the bed. And then he filmed it and said, that's going to your mom and dad and everybody at your school if you ever talk about this. And so she, as a 19-year-old girl, felt that the best thing she could do, felt that the best decision she could make was to just be quiet about it. And of course, when you're quiet about it, you don't put a light on it, then it gets worse. And that's exactly what happened. And she was involved, I think, for 2 or 3 years before she was able to escape out of that. And she was going to, you know, she's going to talk about that for the rest of her life. Thank God she's trying to help other young girls not go through the same pain that she went through. But this is a serious problem. Again, 100,000 people a year in the United States are sold into slavery. That is a great cause that you can all get behind. And again, the cause is lighthouseforlife.org. Lighthouse, and you'd spell that just like you would lighthouse, LIGHTHOUSE for life.org. If you need some more information on that and you forgot the website, you can always hit me up. I'm on pretty much all my social media accounts, as always, is at Kelly Nash Radio. Or you can email me, kellynash_99@yahoo.com. Thank you for the people who are downloading this podcast. Again, this was, I felt like a calling from God. He wanted me to do like a podcast about these types of issues. And so, you know, I'm doing what I feel like I'm called to do, but I also don't really know how anybody's finding out about it. So, but I have noticed that we're, you know, up to like 40 daily listeners now, which is amazing to me because, again, the only thing I do right now is I put it out on my Twitter account. That's it. So if you're sharing it with your friends, I appreciate it. If you need me to do something to help other people get it, let me know about it. I'm also interested in hearing how you found out about it, probably through my Twitter account, right? Okay, well, either way, it's always nice to hear from you. Hope you have a great day.